In Boston today, calls for the resignation of Cardinal Bernard Law, following the release of thousands of pages of documents concerning Father John Gagan. Gagan is the defrocked priest who was convicted last week of indecent assault of a 10-year-old boy. He faces two more criminal trials and dozens of civil lawsuits. The accusations of Gagan's child abuse go back to the 1960s and continued through the mid-90s. More than 130 people have come forward saying he abused them at several parishes where Father Gagan served. Ralph Del Vecchio is one of those who claims to have been abused by Gagan. He spoke at a press conference today.
After his first ordeal, he should have been put away. You know, sent out to pasture, whatever they do with him. I can't believe they kept moving him around and putting other kids in harm's way.
Cardinal Law, the most senior Roman Catholic cleric in Boston, has apologized for his tragic oversight in the Gagan case. Today, Law rejected calls to resign, but he did say that he will now require clergy and officials of the Archdiocese of Boston to report to authorities even past allegations of sexual abuse by priests.
I made a mistake in assigning John Gagan. I regret that assignment. The solution to this problem, as I see it, does not include my resignation as Archbishop.
What prompted this latest exchange was an expose in today's Boston Globe. The paper has been combing through church documents that had been held by the court. Editor Walter Robinson says those documents demonstrate three important points about how the Boston Archdiocese dealt with its problem priest.
The main point was how gently Father Gagan was treated by his superiors. They used all these euphemisms about his problem, never directly calling it what it was in the correspondence. In their letters to him, they offered him their prayers. There was no evidence ever of any condemnation. That was the first thing. The second is that we have not found in any of the correspondence during the time he was serving as a priest and abusing children any reference at all to the victims or the damage done to them. The other thing that we found fairly remarkable and highlighted in the story is that despite all the evidence that was before the cardinal and the bishops, there was virtually no one, one bishop in 1984, no one else ever recorded his or her opposition to the cardinal to say, we have to get this man out of the reach of children.
There is one letter you came across from, I believe it's the mother of children who were being abused, she claimed, who made reference to the difference between sin and crime. Said, I know everyone sins. I'm talking about crimes.
This is a very devout Catholic woman. She died in the late 80s. She was the aunt to seven boys from one extended family who were abused. And they met with Cardinal Medeiros' chief deputy, Bishop Daly, and they pleaded with him to take this priest out of circulation. She wrote to Medeiros, and Medeiros' response, much like the response of the church, was to please to keep this quiet, and we pray for and we forgive sinners. And finally, in desperation, she wrote to Cardinal Law, who succeeded Medeiros, we're not talking about sinners here, we're talking about crime, as you just said.
Various churchmen found problems with Gagan. Well, before he was a priest, when he was a student, his immaturity was noted upon in these documents. There was always something wrong here, according to what was documented at the Archdiocese.
Even in the 50s, Robert, that's correct. When he was in the seminary, he had to take time off. His uncle, who was an influential Monsignor, apparently interceded on his behalf and even wrote to the rector of the seminary saying that his nephew, John Gagan, was depressed. And there was communique from the rector saying he's immature. His grades, we have his report cards, and his grades were pretty bad. And yet he was, in fact, ordained. And almost immediately in his first assignment in the 60s, there was evidence he began abusing children.
The doctors who were treating Father Gagan, as he then was, were really, I think it was an internist and a family doctor. There was no psychotherapist involved. Does the church acknowledge that there might be a compulsive condition, that this might be a form of mental illness that would drive his behavior? Or does the church simply not regard that that is operating? Is it simply a matter of conduct that he might be able to swear off?
Well, I think the latter was the view of the church, and I think has been in their public statements. They have said that they had competent medical opinions that he was fit to return to the ministry. In fact, the opinions were not from people who were competent in that field, and the so-called psychotherapist was his family general practitioner. But at that time, by the mid-1980s, the church, and particularly its bishops who had commissioned a report on this, were well aware of the problem of pedophilia and the fact that it was essentially, like alcoholism, a disease that very often eluded a cure. And Cardinal Law himself, in 1985, was on a panel of the National Conference of Catholic Bishops, which urged the preparation of this report. And experts say that, particularly within the church, which had this problem, that they knew a decade before that about the problems of pedophilia.
Mr. Robinson, thank you very much for talking with us.
Nice to talk to you again.
Walter Robinson is editor of the Spotlight team of the Boston Globe, the investigative team that has reported on the case of Father John Gagan.